If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up? What's going on? Good Thursday.
Watching the end of the A's here.
Yeah, the world's largest funeral is finishing up right now.
It's crazy that it's packed, though.
It's kind of cool. What's happening right now is pretty...
Yes.
It stirs emotion. So the A's right now, just to set the scene here, they're up 3-2 on the Rangers. This is the last game the A's will play in Oakland.
Yeah, because the final games are in Seattle.
And it's 47,000 and some change there, and they're all going crazy. And Mason Miller, who is the best thing to happen to the A's in a long time, he's their reliever, their closer. He's on the hill. And he's dealing right now, and they're trying to close it out and win the game, and everybody's going to go crazy.
It would be so cool. And I was watching this today when I was sitting around at the house, and I was tuning in to see some of the pregame stuff. And then, of course, been following along on Twitter. And, you know, they had a guy, an older gentleman, in some sweet cargo shorts and New Balance. Did you see the guy with the sign, first pitch, last pitch?
No.
Yeah,
he was there for the first pitch.
He said, I was here for the first pitch in 1968, I think it was.
68, okay.
And he had a photo of himself at the game.
Now we got somebody on the... They're running onto the field.
They're eating the pets.
They're eating the dogs.
They're eating the field.
They're eating the cats. Oh, now they're throwing things.
Yeah. They're eating the pets.
And, so he was holding the sign, and then it was a picture of him at the game and whatever it was, 68. And then, he was there.
Cool.
It was...
Is this about to get ugly?
It's possible. They may have to tell the people to calm down. But yeah, I mean,
yeah, that'll work.
People are ripping up
hey,
seats and taking whatever, anything that isn't. Well, I guess the seats are bolted down. It doesn't matter. They're going to tear that place apart, and they should. They absolutely should. And you know, the sad part too is that, you know, they're not going to be in Vegas for another 3+ years. They're going to be in Sacramento, for God's sakes. They couldn't even come up with a deal to keep them in Oakland for a few more years. So we talked about this yesterday. My heart breaks for the sports fans of Oakland. They've been done dirty at every single turn by some of the worst owners in all of sports. And it sucks. And so I thought it was going to be interesting to see how this was going to go, because opening night, remember, they protested. Opening day is the one game where every stadium is full, and the A's didn't. They had a big rally outside of the stadium.
Yeah, they had a block party.
They had a block party, and I was interested to see how this was going to go, but that place is filled up, and I mean, it's to see people that have been fans of that team and that have been there since the 60s, it got a little up in my throat. I got a little emotional.
My brother went to the game last night. It was both where we saw our first Major League Baseball game, because our grandparents were season ticket holders for like 20 years. They had a stretch where they went to all 81 home games 3 years in a row. They were like the pins on the hats, keep score, and wear the headsets type people.
Well, I see we're on the Jumbotron there. They're saying, let's go Oakland, not let's go A's.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's kind of a weird vibe, but...
Because this isn't in support of the A's.
No,
this is in support
they hate
of,
the A's.
This is
well, they love the A's.
They love the A's.
They hate the owner of the A's.
Yeah.
So, anyway...
And if he would just sell, there's multiple people that would keep the team in Oakland.
Including the Warriors owner.
Yes.
Who has done amazing things with that franchise.
Yes, and has said publicly, sell me the team. I will get a stadium built in Oakland. And, you know... Fisher won't do it.
He bought the Warriors for $400 million. They're now valued over $7 billion.
Yeah. I mean, if you were Fisher and you had any sort of... I mean, you're gonna make a mint off the A's. And if you wanted to do anything to try to save any sort of legacy and reputation, if you gave a damn about it at all, sell the team.
Just wash your hands of it.
Make your couple billion dollars. You don't want to be involved in baseball anyways. You hate it. Sell the team. Make a couple billion and you know, not be the most hated man in that city. But he's not going to do it.
I wonder if we can listen in on this. Can we listen in? Are we allowed? Apparently, that's a yes.
Yeah, because I know sometimes it's like we're not allowed to like do play-by-play of live games.
Well, I'm not going to do play-by-play.
Jankowski, that's foul.
But I want to hear the end.
I actually have no idea.
Maybe just have Buck record it and then we can play the end, because this could also record. I mean,
Yeah, that's live.
Maybe that's what we should do.
Yeah, I don't know that we can.
I'll go ahead and record this.
I honestly don't think we can. I don't think we can air live.
Yeah, probably not.
Oh, my God. Now someone, there's a smoke bomb going
on. So, yeah, I think someone threw a road flare or something out.
Oh, my God.
It's about to turn into like a Turkish soccer game out there.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much of this is. Oh, did the left fielder just go and grab it and throw it over? Yeah, I think one of their outfielders just grabbed the smoke bomb and
I'm sorry,
it over the
this
outfield,
is great.
Outfield wall.
Gonna have the whole disco demolition night all over again?
Well, totally. Are they gonna do, is this a Frank Drebin naked gun? The game, it can't be over if you don't allow it, right? Like, if you just keep throwing stuff on the field, they can't finish the game. Therefore, the game goes on
the
forever.
The A's must stay in Oakland.
Boy, I love if that was someone's idea that's like, because they're down to their last strike, right? Yeah.
Two outs.
They get a strike here. This game's over. And there's some dude that's like, it ain't over till I say it's over. It's like a real life Buffalo Wild Leagues commercial. He's out there hucking road flares.
Do you think they're going to storm the court?
I hope so. I hope they. Look, that would be really cool if there was a championship level storming of the field for this and the A's players actually embraced it. I hope so. Although, and then I hope no one gets stabbed or, like, shanked out of the field.
I don't think we want that.
A's fans are a pretty happy bunch, honestly. They're not very violent, at least in comparison to Warriors and Raiders fans.
Really? See, yeah. I've always heard otherwise.
A's fans? Yes. No, A's fans are...
I've heard that if you sit up the lines in Oakland...
This is it.
What do you call it? Your shiv.
I don't know. I'm a Giants fan, and I think Giants fans are way worse.
It's officially over.
Yeah, they won.
That's it.
A's win 3-2.
A's win.
It's the first step. Oh, they are storming the field.
Yeah, they're coming out.
Are those fans or are those? I think those are just photographers.
Is it police or?
They're just photographers.
Okay. Yeah. It looked like there were people running out. That's cool.
Yeah.
When's the last time that stadium was packed?
I think opening night they had a bunch, didn't they?
No, that was the one they had the big block party. I think it might have been the second night where people showed up.
They had one game where a bunch of people were there.
A bunch of people were there. That's kick-ass. And let me state for the record again, the A's, some of the best looks in all of sports. Just that, I just love it.
Are they going to be any better in Vegas?
Probably not, because it's still Fisher. So, you know. You're telling me all of a sudden he's going to spend a bunch of money and he's not going to be a cheap ass and give a damn? You know, he sucks. He absolutely sucks. And that's the crappy part is if you're an A's fan, is even if you do try to follow him to Vegas, it's going to be the same old crap, just at a nicer ballpark.
Well, they don't really know what's going to happen to the ballpark here. I think the Oakland sold their share of it, and there's an investment group that may develop the land.
I'm sure they'll just tear it down unless it becomes some sort of possum sanctuary. I mean, for God's sakes.
Well, they were saying that, I was reading about it today, it's pretty unclear what they're going to do, but the city is out of it.
Yeah.
So it's privately held now. Mm-hmm. But they were talking about, I mean, they're floating the idea of keeping it to try to bring sports back, but I don't know what the hell they're going to get.
Keep what? It's the worst stadium in all of... It's infested with cats and possums.
Well, but you would have to...
They're eating the cats.
You would have to refurb it. But the Oakland Roots are still there. Did you know that the Oakland Roots are the last professional franchise of the city of Oakland?
What is the Oakland Roots?
They are a soccer club.
Oh.
And they are privately funded by local rich Oaklanders. Is that the right term? Oaklanders?
Yeah, Oaklanders.
Oaklanders.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, like Billy Joe Armstrong.
Yeah.
And like he's the lead singer of Green Day, who you saw last night.
Did you
read about this?
I did. I saw something because I was I saw something about him being he owns like he's an investor. He does a lot of small businesses.
Yeah.
Like record labels and stuff. And I saw there that the something about the Oakland Roots and I had no idea what the hell that was.
Well, he's from there and obviously Marshawn Lynch is from there. Oh, the skipper is speaking. To
be Mark Kotze.
Yeah, can we play that?
I don't think so. I think it's
still technically part of the game broadcast.
Yeah, we have to record stuff. And then,
are you rolling on this?
I'm not rolling on this. I'm rolling on the. I'm turning around the end of game call right now. Okay. But Kotze will be available on interwebs shortly.
Yeah, I want to see that. So the Roots are a soccer club. So Marshawn Lynch, mm-hmm. Billy Joe Armstrong, I think Jason Kidd. And there's a bunch of other famous
just keep it going for that
Oakland people that are so pissed that sports left that they just invested millions. I think they had raised like $3 million or something, and they brought a soccer club,
kick ass,
to Oakland.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of pride down there, the Bay Area pride. Yeah. You know, it's something.
They've had a lot of greats from there. We were talking yesterday about, I mean, it's title town.
Yeah.
From the 70s, like they had five straight years where the A's, Warriors, and Raiders won championships. I mean, in the mid 70s, it was title town. And then you had the Bash Brothers, you know, and obviously the Warriors and Steph Curry there.
Well, the Niners were great in the 80s.
Yeah, but they're in
San Francisco.
Yeah. They were in San Francisco then.
Well, I know, but they're not Oakland, dude. We're talking about Oakland.
They're talking about the whole Bay Area.
No.
No. No one cares about freaking... Look at freaking...
It's San Francisco boys trying to make it.
There's a lot of Bay crossing that goes on there. Some people root for the A's and also the Niners.
Ricky Henderson said he can't be sad. He has too much money.
Yes, by the way, that's the best quote.
Perfectly on brand,
Ricky. That is the most Ricky Henderson thing ever. Someone asked Ricky Henderson if he was sad, and he said, I can't be sad. And then he said, and I quote, Ricky has too much money.
Ricky has too much money.
Not I have too much money. Ricky has too much money to be sad. God bless Ricky Henderson for never changing.
Anyway, what was I saying to you? They were title town. They have a rich history of sports there, but also just the people, the great athletes that are from there. Bill Russell.
Yep.
Lillard, obviously. Jason Kidd, I mentioned. Marshawn Lynch. I mean, there's a lot of dudes that came from there.
Yeah. That's it's
and a lot of rappers.
Yes, including the great MC Hammer.
He's from there?
Yeah, Hammer's
he's from near Oakland.
Well, yeah.
So I think he's from Fremont.
I think a lot of people from around there claim Oakland.
Like Marshawn actually is Oakland, but I think MC
like
was
if
Fremont.
You were from Gresham but you claim Portland. I think it's the same sort of thing. But Too Short, we got G-Eazy, you know.
You want to hear the final out?
Yeah, give me the final.
Okay, we can turn that around now. Let's hear it.
Here's the 1-2, Jankowski to Schumann, and the ground ball will end things. A 3-2 win for the Oakland Athletics. One more win for the Oakland fans.
A W on a day that everybody in the Bay needed one.
Who is their... play-by-play gal there?
I believe that's Jenny Kavnar.
Yeah. She sounds young.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, because I'm very pro everything going on with the A's right now and this last thing. That call, I wanted more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted more.
She's been pretty heavily criticized.
Yeah. A lot of people jump on her, and I won't do that, but she just sounds she sounds like a kid.
Yeah. I know, but like...
She's good. She laid out. That was good.
Yeah, but I just thought that there was, you know...
Yeah,
you could have something more for that moment.
If you ever want to holster something, like you and I aren't fans of the play-by-play person holstering something and waiting to throw something out when it happens. But on a day like this, you probably should have thought that out.
Well, and even the one at the end there with the I'm assuming that's the color guy.
Yeah, that's Dallas Braden.
Okay, even Dallas Braden, even that was better when he said, you know, it's a win when everyone in the Bay Area needs one. Like, you know, they're I don't know. It's just that's a big moment, and I thought that that left me wanting more.
When teams leave cities, like this whole thing that's gone on after the game, like now the A's have gathered on the pitcher's mound for a photo. Is this common when teams leave cities for this to happen? Because
when's the last time we saw one of these?
Well, look, all the players are collecting dirt.
The Expos. I don't remember what happened when the Expos left Montreal.
Yeah, I don't know.
But.
I don't know. I think this is...
This kind of feels a little different
this
than
feels
your...
This feels
also, would they be doing all this if they got blown out 10-2, do you think?
I don't know.
I bet they would.
I think they probably would, but...
But, I mean, there's people crying. Like, they went and... someone from the A's went through and they had little jars and they're taking dirt. And I'm assuming that's for all the players.
I saw a grounds crew person last night was just scooping it up with his shovel and putting it in fans' water bottles for him.
That guy
crying. Pretty cool.
Yeah. God, man, that's...
Yeah, it's...
It gives me all the feels.
It does, because the only thing I can equate that to, obviously, here is, you imagine if the Portland Trailblazers left? I mean, one... Danny may just die. He may just have a massive coronary. I mean, and neither one of us are giant. Neither one of us are giant NBA fans.
There it was, live audio of Danny having a coronary.
But I mean, I grew up here. I grew up going to Blazer games. I was my 90% of my sports that I saw live when I was growing up were Blazer games. And from the turn of an America's there and NBA draft, I mean, that was part of my childhood. And I'm not the most diehard Blazer fan, but I try to pull for the home team. And I know how that would make me feel, let alone people where that has been woven into the fabric of this community. I mean, for the longest time, it's all we had.
And for a lot of people who are baseball fans, they have been the constant. Your team is always your constant until this happens.
And so to think of the last game at Moda Center, or I guess maybe the Memorial Coliseum. I mean, one day if they ever tear down the Coliseum, that alone would be a sad day. But the team moving out, I mean, I just don't know. I put myself in that situation, and what that must be like for the people of Oakland. And again, the thing about it is, not only are the people of Oakland losing the A's, but in the last handful of years, they've also lost everything else. They no longer have the Warriors, no longer have the Raiders, and now here comes this.
So they're going to Sacramento next year, is that right?
Sacramento,
next 3 years, I think.
For the next couple years.
Yeah. While they build a stadium in Vegas.
Which, we don't even know what the hell's going on with that. They still don't have the funding, I don't think. They haven't put a shovel in the ground, nothing.
Nope.
Well, maybe Wow.
They've had like one or two pretty pictures.
Maybe Portland will pop up a stadium in a couple weeks.
Well, the only problem is that Fisher won't sell. So, you know.
We don't want that.
The Diamond Project wants their own team, which, you know.
Would you want the A's if Fisher was the owner?
No.
We get baseball here.
Well, then
I'm saying, like, he'll bring them here.
Yes, I would take it. Because,
I would too.
Because it means that we have baseball.
There's your bird in the hand again.
You have to. Because look, let's be honest. I don't know what the odds of the Diamond Project landing. In
sports with a bad owner is still better than no sports.
Somebody asked me that the other day. Put odds on it. I said I have no earthly idea.
The best you can say, and I mean the very best, and I think this is being optimistic, is 50-50. Look,
I don't think it is 50-50.
You what?
I don't think it's 50.
I don't think it is either. That's why I said the most optimistic, because there's only two locations, right? Out west, only two. It's us and Salt Lake. Salt Lake is in the lead.
Sacramento could do a good job with the A's and pop up.
Yeah,
but they still need a real ballpark.
But as of right now,
things happen fast.
I'm saying is, as of right now, there's two options, and that's Salt Lake and it's us. So that's why I said, at best, 50-50. I think if we're being realistic and not putting on our rose-colored glasses, I think it's probably more 70-30. Salt Lake, but if we buy with my big
you're gonna be an owner
my big money. I've got some Canadian dollars in my pocket. Does that do anything? Well, I was in Canada and I've yet to change it in.
Doesn't do anything for me, but maybe it will for the Portland Diamond Project.
Is anyone interested in like 180 Canadian loonies? Because I've got that going.
The loony.
I got the loony.
What a great name.
Yeah. They got fun money, by the way.
I like other people's money.
Yeah, they got it's
loonies and toonies, I think.
Yeah, like you can see through it. Yeah, they got good money. If the Diamond Project goes through it and purchases, not some horse crap agreement, buys Zindel Yards and Red Tail, then I think it's more. I think we're back to 60-40, and I think we're in sniffing position.
All right.
So,
well, so long, A's. I feel bad for those folks in Oakland.
Yeah.
They now have no sports but the Roots Soccer Club.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, at least that's not going away, because it's just a passion project for people. And by the way, speaking of owners, Billy Joe Armstrong, great show. Green Day.
I was going to
ask. That dude's a freaking vampire.
What do you mean?
He has not aged a single day.
Yeah, he's 52, I saw.
I haven't seen them in pro, because I didn't see him last time they came around. I was either out of town or whatever. So it's probably been 8-9 years since I've seen him. That dude has not aged a single freaking day.
How'd they sound?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was a good show.
Could you call Burnside the Boulevard of Broken Dreams?
Could you call it that? That's actually New York City.
What is?
Well, he wrote that when he was living in New York.
Oh, but what is the Boulevard of Broken Dreams? I feel like it's Burnside. It's like Zombieland down there.
I think it'd be more Marine Drive.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have the time of your life?
They did close with that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a cute one to close with.
Yeah, it was really well. And they played
everybody sings along.
They played my favorite Green Day album, one of my favorite albums of all time, period, is American Idiot. And it was cool. It was the 30th anniversary of Dookie, the 20th anniversary of American Idiot. So they played both of those albums in their entirety, which was really cool. So to hear American Idiot, again, probably top 15 album for me of all time, hearing that start to finish was pretty kick-ass, and they sounded great.
Yeah, I'm looking at the photos here. He does look... He looks good.
He is,
but
a
he's got
zombie.
He's got dyed blonde hair. That helps him look younger.
Well, he's had that for.
Like, has he?
Yeah, he does that a bunch. He looks great. Sounded great.
You know, Corgan doesn't look any different either.
I didn't see him, so. And on a nice night, that is such a cool place to see a show. I can't wait for more concerts there next year. Great. Foo and Green Day were great choices to open that thing up. Now we're waving flags and running around the field here at the Coliseum.
They're cool. Still partying.
Still partying.
All right, guys. Well, there's an extended opening seggy for you today. You felt it necessary. Baseball. Oh, and the Mariners eliminated from the playoffs. Let's get started with our poll question next on The Fan. All right, nice to have you along. It's Thursday. We've got to get some football.
It's football! It's the Pac 7.
Yeah, we'll get to that coming up next.
Gosh.
UNLV said no. They said
good
nay.
Lord.
Nigh.
An embarrassment.
Is it?
Yes. The Pac 12, I mean, you just don't even get me started. We'll do it.
No, later. I want to get you started.
We'll do it later. What a clown show over there.
We'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
Here is the poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. Yesterday we said, pick a side, is NIL destroying college football? 58% of you said yes, absolutely. 42% said no.
Yeah. You know what side I'm on that one.
Well,
it's a strong
do we?
No.
No. No. Strong no.
Never felt stronger about a poll question.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's all going to get worked out. It's just
yeah.
pretty clunky little transition there.
Well, all I'll say is that for the NCAA, your house has been on fire for 7 decades and you've chose to do nothing about it. And now you're upset that finally the house is collapsing and you're like, oh, it's ruined. Yeah, you ruined it. You lit the fire. So I just take any of that vitriol crap that you're throwing at any of these kids and throw it back at the selfish bastards that have been screwing people over for 70, 80 years.
So today's poll question is up there for you. Where is the upset this weekend? Is it Seahawks over Lions? We have Bama over Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the postgame guy's crying. Look at that.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know. But obviously pretty emotional.
Is that the great Bip Roberts?
That is the great Bip Roberts.
Yeah. I'm sure that's an emotional day for a lot of those old days, guys.
He grew up in Oakland, and he also played for them for
a while. He's just got his head buried in a Kleenex.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, what did I say? Seahawks over Lions.
Yep.
Bama over Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Bills over Ravens. And I've added Wazoo over Boise State.
The Bills over Ravens would be an upset?
It would, yeah.
Okay.
Actually, most of those spreads are about the same, with the exception of Wazoo. They're a little bit more of an underdog. Yeah.
I think I might be ringing the bell on that. Buffalo with a side of Bama. I dig into the Bama game, I think Bama's going to get this, but I really like Buffalo right now. I think Buffalo is the best team in football. I think what Josh Allen and this offense is doing has been a couple years coming, and I think this is kind of the coming out party for it. And I think Baltimore, a lot like Cincinnati, who I thought both of those teams were Super Bowl teams, and I think they both have some real problems through the first couple weeks of the season. And I think the wrong team's favorite. I think the Bills are going to get this. So Bills with a side of, I don't feel as strongly about it, but Bama.
Okay. Vote hard. It's on X at 1080 The Fan.
Yeah.
Coming up next, UNLV is staying. So
jeez.
The Mountain West appears to survive.
Yeah, for the time being.
So now what? Now what? We'll get to that when we return. But first, Buck with Sports Center. Well, the heat is on the Pac-12 to find an eighth member because while they did get Utah State, they got UNLV but then didn't get UNLV and then tried again to get UNLV and now they have not gotten UNLV.
So they got rejected by Air Force, UNLV, Memphis, Tulane. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say that's getting turned down by the Butter Hog at 2 a.m. closing time. But, dude, you didn't get turned down by the prom queen, okay? You got turned down by the...
He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hugs.
I mean, there's some headgear and a back brace involved in this, and you got turned down. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's not good.
You look like a clown show, and you know...
Well, perhaps it is a clown show.
It really is, because at some point, right, how many times can we sit here and watch, whether it was the old Tom Hansen who couldn't pull his head out and realize that college football was changing, and then it goes to Larry Scott, who butchered that thing like you wouldn't even believe. I still put most of the blame on him, but at least he was a forward thinker. He just was ahead of his time and got too big for his britches. And then you go to Klyavkov, who had his head clearly up his ass. He didn't know what he was doing. And now you've gone to this new one, the gal whose name escapes me right now.
I don't know.
Anyway, you've gone to this one.
And Teresa something?
I think so. Is it Teresa Buck?
Teresa Gould.
I don't know. Oh, there you go. That's
Teresa
right. Gould.
Yeah,
that's right.
Attention, Buck.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Oh, I'm listening.
Buck's on his phone.
Yeah, Buck. I was in there. I was making bets. I was trying to look over.
No,
at Buck.
I'm trying to find the football bite that I sent you.
I was trying to
earlier.
Look over like, hey, help, Buck, Google. So you go to this one, right? And you're down to two, and you make this strategic play to go out and get the four best Mountain West schools. And, you know, silly me for thinking that when you got the four and you got to six, that there was already some sort of understanding of where you were going after that. But apparently not. Apparently you were like, well, these are the four we can get, and then after that, we'll just kind of figure our way out of it. Well, it turns out you're Scooby-Doo, you know, hatched plan here. You got your mask pulled off in front of the nation, and you look like a bunch of clowns again for a league trying to gain some respect. And you're like, well, the Pac-12 brand, and, you know, it means so much, and the prestige of it. You got turned down by UNLV, one of the worst football programs over the last 70 years.
Your own decision worked against you.
Yes.
Because I don't know why they didn't just take six.
Yes. Get the six.
I'm fascinated to know why they didn't just take six, because the way that the two that was going to break up the Mountain West, UNLV and Air Force, would have come over, the way they stayed is the money that you're paying the Mountain West.
Yeah.
For having taken the first four.
And then you rage a war.
So you, in essence, your move saved the Mountain West.
Yes, the money that you gave them is the exact money that screwed you over. I mean, my God.
Very botched.
They're going to study this for years in business school, how not to conduct business.
Well, isn't this the problem that these are not business people, and college football has become big business, and these negotiations have suddenly become just their business decisions, and they're being made by people who are not business people.
No.
I saw someone say online yesterday that these are just like now modern drug deals. Okay, something goes wrong. Who are you going to tell? Who are you going to cry to? There's no one regulating it. It's just like people deciding what's right on the streets.
So you lowball a couple schools thinking that the pact, this is the overvaluation. So you go get the four and you pay all that money, and then you lowball the other two and lowball the four from the American Athletic Conference, thinking that the prestige of the Pac-12 is going to be enough. And they just look at you and we're like, what?
Do you want to hear the Memphis AD?
Yeah.
He came out today and spoke about the Pac-12's offer to Memphis. His name is Ed Scott.
A lot of folks, and some of you in the media, candidly, want us to go to be great. And sometimes you got to be great to go, right? And so when I hear people say, I'm not going to buy tickets, I'm not going to support the programs, you're not really hurting me. You're hurting the student athletes, right? And you're hurting the people that are on the field playing. And that's really, really important for me. So where does this go? If y'all haven't seen the latest reports of what's going on between the Mountain West and the Pac-6, 7 right now, this is a fluid situation, right? So that's the other thing. When we talk about the decision that was made by the University of Memphis to not join the Pac, as I like to call them right now at this time, that was not a binary decision. That was not a no, we're not ever going anywhere. That was based on the offer that was presented in front of us, that we're not taking that offer because we don't think less of ourselves. And I came here for a reason. You heard me in the press conference. You've heard me in any interview I've done. I'm bullish on Memphis's future. And so I think sometimes we get enamored by the new and we want to take a bad deal. And that deal was not a good deal for the University of Memphis. It certainly wasn't a good deal for our athletic department. And most importantly, it was a really, really bad deal for our Olympic sport.
Yeah. So let me just cut through all of that. You lowballed us. Your media deal that you're proposing isn't much better than the media deal we have now. And you're making us quadruple our travel costs. Cool. Good idea, Pac-12. So why did you think that Memphis and those people were going to come? Simply because you're, quote, the Pac-12? I mean, I just, at some point, the emperor has no clothes. And this whole thing, top to bottom, for years, has just been one absolute gong show after the next, including the end of the Pac-12, where, remember, the we're going to keep this thing together and leaking it to reporters of, oh no, we're solid in this. And like at every turn, you just look like a bumbling group of boobs. And I feel bad for the fans of Oregon State and Washington State that you have to go along with this. You don't deserve this. And now where do you go? I mean, I guess you make a play at Texas State. But everyone else is making a play at Texas State too.
Hey, you got to get Texas State, because then all eight would have State in the name. That's the most important thing.
And you're in Texas, which means everything in college football.
Well, the only two. So I was looking through this, and the only two schools that have really come up in most of the people that are reporting on this, there's only two.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mountain West is certainly going to be going after them too.
Yep.
One is Texas State.
Yep.
Who the hell is Texas State? That's the school that only started playing in 2012.
Now all of a sudden everyone wants.
Well, yeah, because it's all that's left.
There's not much.
And the other is UTEP.
Yeah.
And UTEP sucks.
Yes. So Mountain West needs two. The Pac-12 needs one. So I guess you can say the Pac-12 is in the lead. I mean,
they'll get somebody, I would imagine. But you don't think they... I mean, of course they're going to get somebody.
They got to get somebody.
Yeah. So I don't know who that'll be.
I don't know who that is.
But it's not going to matter because it's going to be a crappy program. And by the way, UNLV staying, it sounds like $25 million is coming their way in order to stay. And that's all being paid by, ironically, being paid by the Pac-12 to the Mountain West for the exit fees of the four schools that they grabbed.
And I don't think it's just that. If you read through the statement that UNLV released, and I think this is true for Air Force too, and I think ultimately this was the deciding factor, is Air Force, because the new agreement, the Mountain West teams, by the way, this is concrete. They signed through 2032? I think it was. So they signed an extension. So they're not going back on this. UNLV and Air Force are staying put. But little caveat that I read through UNLV and Air Force's statement, both of them can leave penalty free for a Power Four conference. So that's, and you wouldn't have been able to do that in the Pac-12. So make no mistake about it. UNLV thinks a lot of themselves, think a lot of Las Vegas. And they even said in their statement that their goal is to join a Power Four conference. And this gives them the flexibility, if something were to come along, where they can leave at any time scot-free without paying a penny if the Big 12 or the ACC comes calling.
Yeah. If you think about it, of all the schools left that could be had,
UNLV.
UNLV and Memphis are probably the two best.
Yeah.
So if the ACC ever, or Big 12, ever needs to fill.
Bingo.
Those would be the first two calls.
Free of charge. Get to walk scot-free. Yeah. So
Isn't that interesting? Like,
that was something the Mountain West had in their pocket and the Pac-12 probably wasn't willing to do.
Well, it could have been Oregon State and Washington State.
Yep.
But they decided to go this route and piece the Pac-12 back together, and they've done it poorly.
Yeah.
So they have gone from... I mean, seriously, dude, they've gone from probably the most sympathetic figures in all of college football to the most hated and laughed at.
Yeah, it's...
It's really embarrassing.
Yeah, the goodwill, unfortunately, I think
it's all gone.
It's gone away.
It's really embarrassing. Yeah. Yeah, and it's too bad. Like you said, it's too bad for the fans of the Beavers and the Cougs.
They don't deserve it.
And it's not really the teams and the coaches and players or anything. It's just the athletic departments. And I don't... For the life of me, I just don't understand why it's the same people at Oregon State and Washington State that are still in charge.
Yeah.
This blows me away. They're the ones that
catastrophic
failure. I mean, this goes all the way back to when the Pac-12 was still together.
All the way. You had a chance, think about it, all those years ago between the Larry Scott taking the swinge at Texas and Oklahoma, and I get that didn't work out because you were too stubborn to give Texas their own network. How'd that work out, by the way? Just give them their damn network. No one cared. Oh, it's an extra couple million dollars for Texas. Good. Great, great plan. Years ago, you could have gone through and picked the bones of the Big 12, solidified yourself, big fat TV deal, and killed the Big 12. But why didn't that work out? Because you didn't think that the Big 12 academically lined up, right? The Big 12 schools weren't in line with your academic standards. Well, is Boise State, do you know what the acceptance rate of Utah State is, by the way?
Acceptance rate? What do you mean?
High, 83% maybe.
They take everybody?
Yeah. When you apply, how many? When you apply,
75%,
96.
There you go.
96% of people
go get schooled.
Cool. good a couple years ago that you decided that the Big 12 schools, I laugh a little bit at this because remember, BYU desperately wanted to be part of the Pac-12, and I get it, but you shunned your nose at them because they weren't a research institution in the religion thing. Have fun with Utah State and their 96% acceptance rate. I mean, it's just, it's been bungled. So many different times you had a chance to save yourself or at least get yourself on better footing, and you just... You screw it up at every turn.
All right, coming up next, staying in college football, and so it begins with the SEC and the Big Ten. We'll get to that story when we return on The Fan. All right, coming up in 10 minutes, Oregon coach Dan Lanning. UNLV is staying. We were mentioning UTEP and Texas State. A couple of facts. You want hot sports facts?
Yeah, and I've had a couple of people say that have asked, you know, why can't UNLV just change their mind? All the Mountain West schools signed an extension to stay for extra years in the Mountain West. The only provision is they can leave the Mountain West for a Power Four. So if you're reading this correctly, and I think I am, UNLV is not flip-flopping and jumping back over to the Pac-12. Not happening.
So Texas State has been playing football since 2012, a rich and storied history. They were in the WAC for 1 year, and they've played in the Sun Belt for the last 11, and their overall record is 50-98.
All right, well.
So that's one school.
Catch the fever.
They've had just two winning seasons, but last year they were 8-5.
Yeah.
UTEP is in the mix. They have had just seven bowl appearances since 1967.
I've battled the mighty UTEP Miners. I've played in that stadium. That, they beat us.
That is 56 seasons.
Yeah.
Dude.
Worst place I ever played.
And they play in the Conference USA.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if you've checked the Conference USA. I always have to remind myself who the hell plays in what league.
Liberty plays in that.
Dude, that league is so bad.
Yeah.
Liberty is the only school in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you have UTEP, Florida International, Sam Houston, La Tech.
Yeah, we went through
Western Kentucky.
Because when Liberty went undefeated last year, remember we went through their schedule, and it is a pile of doo doo.
Rice, I guess, could be. Are they an option?
I saw a thing where Sacramento State just got a bunch of funding.
Yeah,
they're gonna extend their stadium. That you have to have certain requirements, so they're going to build a new stadium, and Sac State did it and put out a thing saying that they are trying to come up to the FBS, and they want to be in the Pac-12. So,
oh really?
Yeah,
I thought that maybe they were better suited for the Mountain West.
The one I saw today was there was a statement from the Sacramento saying that they are making a push to expand. They want to be FBS, and they would like to be in the Pac-12. I'm sure they'd like to be in the Mountain West, too, but the one that I saw was the Pac-12. So I haven't seen anything about Montana or North Dakota State or anything like that trying to move up.
Yeah, but North Dakota State is an interesting one. I don't know why they're not an option, but...
Yeah,
they have not been mentioned. Maybe they're tied to the other North Dakota schools.
Possible.
Or
again, the budget isn't there or the stadium. I mean, I don't know. So, but yeah, I mean, the Mountain West still has to grab a couple teams, the Pac-12, and they'll get there. I mean, it's just a matter of who you get. Hawaii could be a team for the Mountain West because they're a partial member, but that doesn't count. And I guess they've been having discussions about becoming a full-time member because remember, Hawaii doesn't play... Hawaii doesn't play any sport in the Mountain West besides football. So my guess is that again comes down to a cost thing. But I mean, if the Mountain West wanted to, you could eat some cost there and make Hawaii a full member, but you would probably have to give them a little extra piece of the pie to deal with the travel and your team's going there. So that is one that the Mountain West could easily elevate, and then they would still have to go get one. Or again, if both sides wouldn't just hate each other, they could just merge. But sounds like that has gone by the wayside.
Hell no, they're not going to merge. No. They're going to kill each other.
That's what it sounds like. It's just stupid.
I'm here for it.
Conference on conference violence.
Yeah. So I don't know. Outside of that, I don't know where they go. Yeah. We got to table the Big Ten SEC.
Yeah, we got to get out on time.
Talk because Dan Lanning is nothing if not prompt. Mm-hmm. So, Dan Lanning, the Oregon coach. Can you believe that?
Yes, I can.
He's back.
He's back from vacation.
Back from Cruton.
Back from Cruton.
Not really a vacation. But...
Flipped a five-star kid, I guess, today.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I don't think he can comment on it because the kid isn't signed.
I don't think he can either.
Well, I'm going to ask him 10 questions about it.
The kid announced it on his social media, so you could mention, hey, we saw this on Douglas Utu's social media.
In
your face, Josh Heupel.
I don't think he can talk about it.
Well, and Tennessee flipped an Oregon commit maybe 2 months ago, so it's retribution.
Oh, come on, man.
Got a little Tennessee-Oregon spat going on.
All right, well, Dan Lanning, the Oregon coach, joins us for his weekly visit next on The Fan.